welcome to Life in Lane 4, the podcast where we dive into the struggles of balancing swimming and school. I am your host, Anton Bergavoy, and today I'm here with Jake Wang. I saw Jake at a long course meet last June, and I watched as he swam the 200 IM, barely missing the Olympic trials cut. I then saw him compete at NCAAs in relays, and I just knew I needed him on the podcast. His charisma and storytelling made him an amazing guest. I am extremely grateful to have gotten the opportunity to meet with Jake, and I hope that you enjoy this episode.
Hey, Jake, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. Really nice to have you.
No problem.
Yeah. So, end of college swimming about a month ago. How was your first year at Yale?
You know, coming here is definitely a shift from club swimming. In college, you have a much more rigid schedule that you need to stick to, and you have a lot more studying to do. For me, especially at like an Ivy League school, it's tough trying to balance work and trying to balance swimming and all that. So, especially with trying to adjust to a new social scene. And so, coming here, one of the first things that I noticed I needed to do was schedule and plan. And so, I feel like for me, something that was really helpful adjusting to this first year was planning ahead of time a lot, and then also knowing what was going on, knowing what I had to do and what my priorities were. So yeah, I feel like it was definitely an adjustment from high school. High school is a lot more relaxed and a lot more chill, but coming here, definitely an interesting experience. Got to meet a lot of new people. Got to meet a lot more just normal people rather than athletes. And so I think it was a good experience overall so far. Excited to see where it goes for the next last few weeks here. But yeah, it's been good. Yeah.
How has your college experience been interesting so far?
Definitely a lot of different experiences in the sense that like you go out a lot more, you get to experience what lectures are like and what going to like office hours are like. And so it's definitely a change in that you're a lot more independent. You've got a lot more time on your hands to go eat whenever, do your laundry on your own whenever, you know, study whenever. And so I feel like for a lot of high school, I was just taking it by the flow, you know, going to school, getting my homework done, like, as soon as I got back from home or during school. And so now that I'm a lot more independent, like, I have my scheduled practice times, but outside of that, everything's up to me, and whether I go to lecture or not, you know, it's all up to you, and it's a lot more dependent on what you're feeling like doing that day or what your priorities are that day. So it's a lot more open and a lot more just freeing, basically.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with all this like independence that you have, like going to, like having the option of going to lectures and stuff? You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, after like a hard Wednesday morning practice, if I'm feeling a little tired, I can just 10:30 lecture, take a nap right through it. Then go to lunch instead of going to class. But you know, ultimately it depends on what you think is best for you in that day and how you, like, you know, in high school you gotta go to school every day or else you get marked for attendance, but sometimes in college classes don't take attendance. You only gotta be there for the tests and turn in your problem sets, but for a lot of the time it's just up to you. And a lot of the time, depending on what you're feeling like, it'll be your decision.
Mm-hmm. How was your first season of swimming in college?
You know, it's had its ups and it's had its downs. I didn't improve much in like my individual events, but I feel like my relay events have gotten a lot better.
Nice.
The freestyles and other strokes definitely got a lot better in those. So taking steps forward in not just one way, but multiple, which is good. But also just adjusting to a whole new training programs, a whole thing its own. And I feel like going from high school training to college training, it's a big shift. Completely different training programs. Back at Suburban, we did a lot more like aerobic IM, aerobic freestyle, stuff that's long, drawn out, make it till you break type of stuff. And right now I'm doing a lot more specific, like sprint-based or specific pace-based practices that still challenging in their own way, but they're different. And so it takes time to adjust to those things. And I feel like still adapting right now, but in general, I've seen improvement in a lot of different areas, which is good. And then coming up on next season, I think it'll be even better once I'm fully integrated into the system.
Nice. How did you deal with like some of the downs? Like I know you said you like the season was full of ups and downs. So how did you deal with all those downs? Like what was like the mentality that you were like thinking about?
You know, it's tough when you see yourself not like reach the expectations you set for yourself. Yeah. So like in the beginning of the season, me and my primary coach had a chat of like what times I wanted to hit, what I wanted to really target, like what my goals. I hard set goals, right? Wrote them all down, and then I see myself training every day, doing these things to work to get those goals, and then when your championship meet comes, you don't hit them. You're like, well, yeah. I just sold my shot, and so you beat yourself down a bit, a little bit after it, but ultimately it's about how you perceive the season in general, what you think that you can improve on, and you have to also find other people around you to get support from them. So, for example, for the first one, even though like I didn't reach a lot of my goals in like the one breast and 2 IM, I still like improved a lot in a sense that like I went 52 multiple times in a season, which I'd never done before. And then I've also dropped time in the 2 IM, even though I didn't hit my goal, I still dropped, which is good. And so you got to perceive those in a new way, especially when you're swimming at a higher level. You got to take everything for granted. So even though like you don't hit your expectations, you got to still be grateful for what you get, and you got to take those and accept them. And then ultimately finding other people to support you too is really important, because I was talking to a lot of my friends about not hitting our goals, and it really hurts when you don't, but it's the people that you surround yourself that will help you get through those moments and help you get like further.
What do you think you can improve on for the next season?
Well, specifically, for me, like technique wise, there are a lot of things I can work on. For example, at NCAAs, in my 2 free lead off, one of my coaches said after my race, you know, you were 7 good turns away from a 131. And I was like, well, damn, that means I didn't have a single good turn in that race. And so,
yeah,
probably going to do some work with my turns in that scheme, so my 2 free and 1 free can be better. But yeah, so like technique wise, a lot of different things, but also like just being more present around the team, I guess, like vocally during practices and meets. I tend to shut down a lot and just fully lock in on myself to concentrate, and like it works for me, but, you know, at a collegiate level, you got to put the team ahead of yourself, and that's a really big thing. I get that, like, swimming's an individual sport for a lot of people, but when you really look at it, when you're part of something bigger, like for me, it's being a part of Yale. When you're part of something that big, part of something that's trying to achieve a goal, you have to put the team ahead of yourself, and so part of that's becoming more vocal, being more of a leader, and really being helpful to the teammates around you, and then finding benefit from them and yourself as well. So I feel like stepping up is another big step that I could take for next season.
So all those techniques you were talking about in the beginning, you were talking about like, oh, I'm a 7 good turns away from having from going 131. So like, how do you think you're going to work on those like techniques at practice for the next year?
So I guess one of the things that we do every Tuesday and Friday is we separate into specific groups based on what we work on exactly. And so on like a Friday, for example, we still go fast. We still have a hard practice on Friday, but it's a lot more specific and they want you to be a lot more intentional on those Fridays, especially with my group. So in, for example, if we do a race pace set on that Friday, it'll be like race 50s or whatever. And one of the things that I guess my coach would want me to work on for the turns is making sure that, you know, shoulder level, below hip level, anchor your hips in the water, flip right over over your head rather than, you know, taking your time and being like lethargic with your legs. And so being really specific, paying attention to those specific things to really get the work in while you're going fast, so that when you're going fast in the race, you get used to what it's like getting your shoulders below your hips, anchoring, and then flipping straight over, you know, so.
So you said you were talking about like trying to be more of a leader next year, trying to like be more vocal and like cheer and stuff more. So what do you think like exactly you want to do to be a better leader?
So I guess one of the things that I've noticed, honestly, this year that works well for me and I feel like works well for a lot of other people is rather than just being like, come on, let's go, guys, we got this, over and over again, really loudly, like during practice or during a meet or whatever, sometimes that's just goes in one ear and out the other, right? People don't really process it. They just hear you say and scream and honestly can get annoying sometimes. And so one of the things that I'm going to try and do next year is go to people individually, talk to them on like a quick, relatively quick basis and just tell them to focus on one thing, you know? So focus on one thing and then it'll get you through. For example, if we're doing like a tough IM set, you know, push those underwaters, get to 7 each wall, you know? And if like someone hears me say that to just them, they'll focus in on that and it'll get them through the rest of the set because they're not concerned about them dying or getting through the rest of the IMs or whatever. They're focused on getting 7 underwaters off each wall. So helping people with hearing one thing that they could work on during whatever it is, race, meet, lift or whatever, helping people get that one thing in their head and then motivating with that one thing individually, I think that will help a lot.
That's cool. How were like the college meets? How were like the dual meets against all the teams you went against? And NCAAs, of course, you were there for a bunch of relays and individuals.
All the college dual meets, like at high school dual meets are one thing, you know, you go to them, you goof off a bit and you're like, well, it's over. I get my free cookie. Bus ride home, fun, you know, you win or lose, it's whatever. Nobody really cares that much because it's ultimately about like states at the end, right?
Yeah.
But at college, it's way more intense. It's like these guys that you're racing against, you don't know them, but you just have like a certain like feeling that you need to beat them no matter what. And so against some of the weaker teams, sure, it's like, whatever, we're here, we might as well just do it. But this season against, like, Brown and, like, Columbia and, like, Princeton and Harvard, it's like, damn, I really want to beat these guys. Like, I really want to crush them and, like, show them that we're better than them. We should be ranked higher than them or whatever. And so it's a lot more intense. There's a lot more, it's a lot louder. It's a lot of fun too. It's tough doing like four events in one day, span of 2 hours, but you know, you get used to it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. In the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. I'd always complain like, man, why I got to do two breasts, two IM, same day with a one free in it too. Like, come on, that's too much for me. But you know, the more you do it, the more you get used to it. Mm-hmm. It's fun being on the deck, you know, screaming your head off. But you know, it's a lot more intense than high school. And
yeah,
as for the championship meets, oh my gosh, at yeah. Ivy's, the walkout for the four free relay, it was super tense in the ready room, and I was just sitting there with my headphones on and like trying to not shit my pants, looking at all these guys around me. Like, everybody in whatever conference you're in is going to be fast, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
even like you're in A10, like, I don't even know the schools in A10, but it's still a fast conference. So, like, yeah, even at their championship meet, it's going to be heated. You're going to be surrounded by a bunch of fast guys at a bunch of good schools, right? People look at Ivy League and are like, oh, Ivy League, they're not that good. But, like, I was still sitting in that ready room, like, god damn, I might get cooked here. But yeah, it's super fun. And you're also there, again, like I said earlier, you're there for like a bigger purpose than just performing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's one thing you got to keep in mind when you're swimming in college too. The points are much, much, much more important than what you actually swim, like, and what your time
mm-hmm.
is. Because mm-hmm. the time gets you the points, but, and like, it gets you like personal pride, glory. Like, if I went 51.7, yeah, I'd be fucking through the moon. But like, I wouldn't have won the event. It yeah. would have been better if I won the event. Like,
yeah.
Like at States, I remember senior year at States, I was pissed I didn't go my goal time. Like, but like, I won the event.
Yeah.
If I didn't go my goal time at Ivy's, but I still won the event, like, I'd be through the moon. So I feel like that's a big shift from high school to college. It's just the points matter a lot more. Doing it for the team and all the guys that you're spending so much time around, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing it for them rather than doing it for yourself is really important, especially at those championship meets.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think there's like a different mentality during like the college meets? Like, oh, I want to beat this team so bad. I want to beat the team so bad. Versus like high school meets, it's like, oh, like, we beat them or we lost. It's whatever.
I think it's just a whole different dynamic, you know. It's created from years and years of rivalries amongst these schools. And in high school, there's a ton of schools from here and there. Like, for me, it was like Conestoga versus North Penn. We had a little bit of a rivalry, but, like, obviously we knew North Penn was always going to win because they had divers. And so you don't really care about it as much when you just go against these guys and only see them like once a year, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Versus in college, you go to this dual meet. It's like a preview of what's going to happen at your championship meet. And you go to the mm-hmm. championship meet and like you see all these guys that are like on fire and everybody's going fast. And then you get past that and then you go to NCAAs and you see them again at NCAAs and you're like, well, we got to place higher than them now. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just like recurrence and like also like a constant rivalry that's super entertaining and like it brings a bunch of guys together to complete a mission, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What team for you is like the one that's like, oh, we have to beat them. We have to place higher than them. Like, if I place higher than them, like, doesn't matter what time I go, as long as I place higher than them. What team is that for you?
For sure, Princeton. You know,
really,
they've been them and Harvard have been top dog for a minute now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just a freshman, so I wouldn't really know, but I've seen all the meets and the previous results. I've heard all the stories. Our seniors this year, actually, like the seniors that are graduating this year, they were like mm-hmm. sixth place when they were freshmen. which is ass in the Ivy League, 6th out of 8. And so oh, yeah. to get to third, and then because Yale used to be like top dog in swimming in like the 90s, way back when, right?
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
since then, it's been Harvard and Princeton and them two. And then the rest of us are just like chilling, doing whatever, right? But we've got a good crew now. We beat Harvard at our HYP dual meet for the first time in a minute. And so we're on the come up. We were already taking down Harvard. If not for their depth, we would have beat them at Ivy's too. So we're putting our eyes on Princeton next for sure.
Oh, wow. That's nice. That's cool. How do you think that the high school – or not high school, the college meets is more fun than the high school meets? I know there's, like, more – I know you swim, like, a lot more in a shorter amount of time, but, like, what do you think is the most fun about the college meets?
For me, I think it's just seeing everybody go so fast, seeing all your friends swim fast. And when you think about it, in college, you're spending 24/7 with these guys that you're swimming with. So the other guys in my class, they're like some of my best friends, and I'm spending every minute of every day with them. I eat with them. I train with them. I go to school with them. I hang out with them. I study with, like, I do everything with them. And so when it gets to the meet and, like, you're all separated and you're your own individual events, it's super hype to get to see, like, what you guys have created go into one thing on their own. Like, you all split off onto your own basic adventures, but you're still seeing each other succeed, you know? So just really exciting to be able to see all that.
Yeah. What are some of the practices like at Yale? Like, I know you said it's a lot different from high school, and kind of making that switch was like a big transition for you. So what are some of the practices like that are different from high school?
So I guess during club, a big emphasis on yardage, big emphasis on building a aerobic base. So, for example, one of the sets we would do is 40-100s of just freestyle. And 40-100s, first 20 on, like, minute, just make it, right? Minute five. Next 12. Four rounds of three, descend 1 to 3 on like 130, and then 8 all out on like 120. You're supposed to get cooked. It's supposed to cook you. You're meant to die. But those sets, you don't really see them as much in college. You'll do them on occasion, right? Like, like, for example, at SSC, we did like a set that was just 4-4 IMs, you know. You don't really do that in college. But in college, like right now, we do a lot more pace. We do a lot more structured work that's just you develop your race rather than developing like your aerobic base. So and something that I've been doing a lot more is actually training to improve and work on like the race itself. So for the 2 IM, I'd be doing work to improve the pacing of my 200 IM. Versus in high school, I'd be doing a lot more work that's just work to improve on training basically for like a 500 IM, you know, because of all the aerobic base work. So it's just different in that sense. Then also you integrate a lot more power training, so like buckets and power tower. Those will like help with the 50 and 100 explosivity off the walls. Your lifts are a lot more specific. I know in high school, a lot of kids start lifting and they lift like power builders and they end up building too much muscle mass to the point where they don't move in the water as well anymore. And so in college, it's a lot more specific, a lot more design practice lifts to help you in the water. So I guess it's different that way, too.
How is the less aerobic base practicing? How has that affected your race abilities and like your racing?
So obviously one of the things that I've improved a lot in this year is the two free, and I feel like a lot of the pace work that I've done this year has helped me get an idea of where I should be in the middle of the race, you know. So for example, midway through the 125 of a two free, I'll know exactly where I need to be energy wise, where I need to be with how much effort I'm putting into my tempo, and it gives me a good idea of what I should be hitting to get my ideal split. And it also gives me an ideal like view of how tired I should be in that spot. And so, for example, if I'm trying to hit during practice 23s at pace, like 23 mids, I'll have to try really, really hard to get those in practice, right? But when the race comes, I know that 23 mid is going to be a lot easier than it was in practice. And so I'll be a lot more prepared to be able to hit that 23 mid during the actual 200 itself.
What do you like more about the college training experience than the high school one?
The high school one's a lot more like you go there and like you do your own thing, I guess, and like nobody really cares if you try hard or not. If you do well during the practice, you just go there, show up or don't, and like it's whatever. If you miss a practice, it's like whatever. If you don't try that day, it's just like not as intense or intentional as college training is, because here you're going to get called out if you miss practice. You're going to get called out if you're not trying as hard. You're going to get pushed as much as possible, right? And so that intensity and intentional, that intention that you have with every practice is, it's really beneficial for me at least, and I know it's definitely beneficial for a lot of the guys on our team to have that support group behind each other. And you know, it's just, it's great to have everybody locked in on something to achieve something, you know.
Why do you think it's more beneficial to have like to have being called out on for missing a practice or not working out hard enough?
Well, if so, one of the things that happened at my club team a few years ago, and sadly what's happening right now, is I feel like you see older kids and the people that you follow skipping practice, skipping reps, and not trying as hard, and then you're like, oh well, I can do that too. If they're doing it, I can do that too. And then it creates a whole chain of skipping practice, not going hard enough, not training hard enough, and just being disrespectful to the coaches and everything that they're doing for you. And so I feel like preventing that from happening is the most important thing. And if our club, if our team culture here is that, and like you're skipping practice, you see your older kids and your mentors, people you look up to when you're a freshman, if you see them doing that, you're just going to follow them, and you're not going to be able to achieve that goal that your coaches and you want for yourself, you know? Everybody wants to go fast, right? Some people don't care anymore. That's okay. They can do their own thing. But if you still care and you still want to drop time and improve, you have to be willing to put in the work. You can't cut corners. You can't decide when you don't want to practice. And I feel like that's a lot of, that's what people tend to do, you know? I hear stories from people who, like, they want to improve, right? They want to see themselves succeed in the water, but, and then they look at some people who don't try as hard and don't work, skip practice, and still succeed, and they're like, oh, well, maybe I should do that too. Maybe if they're skipping, I skip, and they still do well, I can still do well, you know? But that doesn't, it just doesn't line up. Some people get away with it, some people don't. it's best to just not take your chances and keep working hard.
Do you think that's one of the traits that you would try to work on as a leader? Like, not skipping. I'm assuming you're not skipping any practices at all, but like not skipping and like pushing yourself, being respectful to the coaches, like everything you just said that like people aren't doing exactly. Like, do you think as a leader, like when you're trying to step into this leadership position that you said you were trying to do, like you were going to try to set the standard of being respectful to coaches and like hitting all the practices and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I don't think we have an issue with that on our team here, but something that I feel like we could improve on, and honestly, I myself could improve on a lot, is in the practice itself, you know, like when I get tired or whenever other people get tired, the set starts to break them down. We start to give up, and it's easy to do that, you know? It's the easy route. And so, like, if there's one piece of advice that, like, I could hope everybody takes away, it's just have a chat with somebody that knows what your goal is and knows what you want to achieve, and have them tell you that you just need to thug it out and push yourself past that limit, you know? I know, like, coaches will always be like, the grass is greener on the other side, you know, just one more rep, you got it, it's one more. But sometimes, like, that just doesn't work mid-set. Sometimes you can't find that second level to push yourself. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you go into the practice knowing you're going to die, knowing that the practice is going to be tough, knowing that you're going to have to work hard to get to the end and work hard through the whole thing to get to the end, it'll help you a lot. For me, example, I like in the previous season, like this season, some of the days, you know, we would have a hard set. I'd do well in early, but then I'd die out, and I wouldn't be able to keep pushing myself past the limit, you know, and I'd give up, and I'd get out of practice, and I'd feel guilty, you know, I'd feel guilty because I didn't end up giving it my all that day. And it's just disappointing when that happens. You don't want to let yourself down. And if you do give up, then you've wasted a day pretty much. You've wasted something that you could have taken out of that practice, and you decided that you want to cut corners, take the easy route, and just move on to the next day. You can't do that at the high level, and you need to make sure that every practice you're giving it your all, you're being intentional with the fact that you're trying hard and you're making sure that you're getting everything you can out of that set.
Moving to your recruiting process, I know you obviously went to Yale, but what was your recruiting process like?
So what's it, June 15, 16?
Yeah.
So 15. That day, you know, you get a lot of emails, you get calls, or at least I remember I like got a call from a school. I was walking through my hallway. Like, I told him, yo, I'm still in school, bro. Like, call me later. But you get emails, you get calls from different schools. And for me, that was what it was like. Like, I don't want to be like full of myself or whatever, but I feel as though I was a relatively highly recruited athlete in high school. Mm-hmm. But I know for a lot of other kids, it's not that way. You know, they have to take that next year to improve, and they have to take that next year to get better and then get more calls and emails. And sometimes that doesn't even happen for them. So it's tough for a lot of different people. For me, I got to pick and choose where I wanted to go. You know, I obviously had set in my mind I wanted to go somewhere where they were fast and they were academically rigorous and where I could get a good degree. Some people, priorities are otherwhere, you know? So it's different, and I'm glad I got that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to pick where I want to go. But I know for other people, it's not like that. And honestly, the best advice I could give to those who are still looking in the recruiting process and still wanting to get recruited somewhere for swimming, even if they didn't get the flood of emails on June 15, is just stick with it. Be intentional in your practices and make sure that you're staying on the recruiting process. Because if you go through the whole year trying to improve without paying attention to recruiting, then you're going to lag behind and you're going to try and catch back up after the season ends. And so you want to make sure that you're keeping coaches updated on what you're doing to improve. You want to make sure that you're keeping coaches updated on your times and how you're progressing through the season. And maybe eventually you'll find more people to reach out to and you'll find more success. And if you do end up dropping time and improving to a certain standard, you'll get to that point where the coaches do reach out to you and it'll be great. So yeah, you just want to stick to the whole recruiting process. You can't go through the whole season and then hope that June 15 you get a bunch of emails. Oh no, you don't. And then you end up going through the whole season again, trying to improve, waiting for emails while you could be emailing coaches, updating them and letting them know. And no matter how annoying it could be to just constantly email over and over, it's about persistence and it's all about just sticking to it and making sure that eventually you get to the point where you can get recruited, you know?
What do you think your most fun visit was out of all the ones you went to?
I probably had the most fun here. On a lot of my visits, I was with a group of kids. So it was fun to be with a bunch of other recruits. And so you got to have an idea of like where you and a bunch of kids your age would fit in, you know? And so for like the visit to Yale, one of the things we did was a beach trip. We went to like the Connecticut shore. And so we just got a day to like hang out with a bunch of the guys on the team and to spend time with each other and a bunch of the other recruits. And so it gives you a good idea of what like community you're going to be surrounded by and what the vibe is, you know? And so I feel like that was huge for me. And I can see it when I do the recruiting visits now, you know, like I see a bunch of guys come in, they're all 16, 17 year old, they're all fresh little kids. And I'm like, damn, I was that kid once, you know? And so I try and show them what like our team's really about and what it's like to just hang out with the guys a lot, you know? So it's definitely was really fun here. Also just got the best vibe out of
What made you pick Yale over any other school that you visited or you've talked to?
The food.
Really?
No. But honestly, the food when I came here was really good. It was the best out of all the schools. And I feel like genuinely though, when you're like considering it school, the food should be an important factor because you're eating the food like every single day. It's part of your every single, like going to a football game isn't part of your every single day activities, you know, eating the food is. So I feel like that honestly should be an important factor when kids are choosing schools. But for me, my final decision was between Princeton and Yale, right? I'd always wanted to go to Princeton since I was a kid. It was close to home. I visited there a lot with my parents. My mom worked there, worked in like the Princeton area for a little bit too. Nice. So I'd always wanted to go there. It was my dream school essentially. And when I went there, I was a little underwhelmed from the guys, no shade, but like I just felt like the guys at Yale, I connected a lot more with. And, you know, it's the way things work out. because Princeton ended up not offering me a spot. And then, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to wait around for much longer because I had already waited a ton of time for them to offer me a spot. And, you know, they never offered me. And so I just took up Yale's offer, which I've had for a while. And it's like, this works out well because I feel like the Yale guys were a lot chiller and, you know, I bonded with them a lot more than I did with the Princeton guys. So, you know, I just feel like wherever, like my advice to when you're picking between two different schools is you could just go with wherever you feel like you connect with the most with the people there, not with the school itself, you know, not with like the way the school looks or whatever you see on the tour, but rather the people that you will eventually be spending the next 2 years of your life with, or two, 3 years of life with, you know? It's whoever you see yourself being around for most of your time in college and whatever the team vibe is, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think you connected better with the Yale boys than the Princeton boys?
So Princeton, very smart school, very dedicated to education. But I'm all about that. I'm all for it. I love like the whole idea of getting a good degree and stuff like that. That was a big thing for me. Like the degree over swimming. Swimming was going to have to eventually take a backseat. So the degree was always going to be the priority. And at Princeton, definitely could have gotten a very good higher education. But, you know, I feel like a lot of the guys weren't around much when I was on my visit. I'm not sure if, like, I remember too clearly. It was a while ago now. But I was around the same group of, like, guys on the team for most of the time. While at Yale, you know, everybody was here and there. Everybody was interchangeably connected. And also the women's team and the men's team are combined here, too. And so I feel like that was a big thing for me. I didn't see any of the women's team at all on my Princeton visit. So I feel like that combination is nice. And also, yeah, just the overall vibe was a lot more with Yale. I feel like we were a lot more lax here at the house, like our swim house. The games we played were fun. It wasn't just, you know, pool and ping pong. We had our own, we have our own little games that we play. So, yeah.
What games did you guys play at the swim house?
We have our caps. It's where you just have a quarter and you shoot a quarter into a cup. We have another game called Lege. It's supposed to be, it's short for leisure. Or like leisurely. It's the L-E-I-S part. It's kind of like ping pong, but also not really. It's played on a wooden table. There's four players. It's very complicated, but very fun. You know. And so we have our own little events and stuff. But, you know,
that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So you are an econ major, correct?
Yeah.
So how did you choose that major?
So for me, I've known that I've always wanted to go to New York and work in finance in some sort of way. Obviously, at Yale, we don't have a business school undergraduate MBA program like Wharton or stuff like that. So there's no finance degree, but here at Yale, I still know that I want to eventually make my way into like an IB position or private equity in New York, and I feel like economics is one of the best pathways to do so. And so the classes I take are mostly surrounded around like finance and economics and stuff like that, as well as some math courses. Because that's just what I'm interested in. You know, there's obviously other degrees here, such as like molecular biology or whatever, where you can take chemistry and biology at the same time. Like, no, I'm not trying to do that.
So,
there's also a lot of different combinations of degrees that I was interested in. Like, there's a economics, politics, and ethics degree that's probably pretty good for entering law if that's something people are interested in. But for me, it was a lot more just based around my future career as well as what I thought I would be most interested in. And so that's what economics is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. How do you know that, that you wanted to be like in the New York finance department, finance area? Like, how did you find that like central passion for like finance?
So when I was in high school, I was a part of the investment club, and also my personal finance teacher was really, really, really good at making like finance interesting, like the whole stock market stuff. And so I just know from then, also like hella bread in finance, you know. And also just the idea of living in like a New York apartment and then like going to work for 17 hours a day. I know it seems rough, but when you ultimately think about it, it's what I'm interested in. It's what I want to do. And then also like learning about bigger corporations and how the way the world moves and the finance industry is just really interesting for me. I feel like learning about like mergers and acquisitions and a lot of the other stuff in finance, like LBOs and DCFs, are really interesting to me.
That's cool. So moving, like, next part. Have you ever had any trouble balancing like schoolwork and swimming? I know you mentioned a little bit about that at the start of the episode, but
you know, in college it gets tough because during the whole week you try and get your problem sets done during the week, and you try and get some studying done during the week. But for me, it's, you know, my day usually goes wake up, morning practice, eat, go back and nap, wake up again, go to school, classes and lectures, eat, and then go to more classes maybe, or go to like practice. And during that whole block, when most of the other kids are probably doing homework, studying, working on stuff, I'm doing practice, swimming. I'm in the training room getting my body ready for a beat down pace set or whatever. So yeah. I feel like getting through the week, part of my day is already cut off because of practice. And then you also have, and then at nighttime, you go to practice and then you're free. You know, I could go to the house and just play Ledge or Caps for fun with all my friends, or I could go to the library and sit in a chair for 3 hours and study. And one seems a lot more entertaining than the other. So it's really easy get off track, especially when you have so much freedom in like a city in New Haven. And then on Saturdays, you know, you're going out, you get home from practice in the morning and you're like, man, I'm cooked. You take a nap. You don't get any work done. You eat your food and then you go out. So Saturdays are just deleted. Right. And then you have Sundays, and Sundays are all just, you got a ton of work to do on Sundays, but you know how Sundays are, they're a drag. You don't really feel like doing anything on Sundays because you got Monday morning practice in less than 12 hours. So it definitely gets tough. But it's all about planning ahead. Like I said earlier, when you get to college, you understand that you don't really have like tests every single other week, every other week. You know, in high school you have unit one, and unit one is 3 weeks long. At the end of unit one, you have a test. Then you have unit two. that's 3 weeks long. You have a test at the end of unit two. In college, it's a lot like more like semester. You have a midterm midway through, and then you have a final at the end. Or maybe you have two midterms in that semester, and then you have a final at the end as well. Maybe you have a project somewhere stuck in there. You don't really know the due date of that project, but eventually it'll come up on you. So, you know, you just got to start to plan ahead on a lot of things. You got to know when you got to study for stuff, and you got to know when you got to get your problem sets done. Because otherwise you're going to fall behind, and you're going to have to start skipping lectures to do stuff that you don't want to be doing.
So what do you do to better balance it? Like, how do you keep that, like, I need to study mentality after practice instead of going out to the house and playing Liege or Caps or something?
Having your priorities straight, and also understanding that it's just like a part of growing up. Like, when you get older, you're not going to have time to go home and play video games after practice, you know, and you're not going to have time for that. You're going to have to concentrate on your job. You're going to have to concentrate on managing your social life. You're going to have to concentrate on raising a kid or whatever. Like, you got to, it's about adapting to your responsibilities and understanding what you need to get done, because ultimately when you grow up, things are going to change and you're not going to have as much time to do what you want to do versus what you need to do, you know?
What advice can you give to anyone that is struggling to balance the schoolwork and all the swimming that they're doing?
Get a calendar. Get a calendar. Get a note app or a notebook. Write down what you have for the week or the month. Mark out what you're going to do on each day, what you're going to plan to do at least on each day. If you don't reach that plan, then adjust your calendar, adjust your notes, and make it more tight. But, you know, you ultimately still have it prepared. You ultimately are still ready to go for the next week or month. And if you just follow that, it'll be a lot easier, because then you're not going to stress about thinking, oh, what do I have to do today or what do I have to do tomorrow, you know? And if you're prepared and you have everything written down ahead of time, then you can just go take a look and see, okay, I need to do this and I need to do that, so I'm ready for that. And rather than going and goofing off, doing whatever, sitting on your phone and doom scrolling, you have a set goal in your calendar already that you made for yourself. And I can honestly apply to a lot of things, but ultimately, yeah, getting yourself a calendar, planning ahead, making sure that you're on top of all your responsibilities and knowing what you need to do.
Yeah, that's really good advice. It's really good advice. And last question, if you can go back, or I mean, if you could restart your freshman year, what do you think you would do differently?
Done exactly what I just told you. So
get a calendar.
Freshman fall, I was all over the place. I had no idea what I was doing. I was lost. Had no idea what I had going on in the next week. And so right now I'm a lot more organized with my stuff, and you know, it's a lot more beneficial, makes your life a lot easier. And so, yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you, Jake, for all the stories and tips that you have shared. I really, really appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
Wow, what an episode. Jake really was a great guest to talk to. From the ways he relaxes and de-stresses to the stories of his recruiting process, I learned so much from this episode and really enjoyed talking to Jake. I hope you enjoyed my talk with Jake just like I did. I'm Anton Berigovoy. Until next time, in the life in Lane 4.